B'siyata d'shmaya, we're going to learn Shabbos Daf Yud Aleph. We're going to start three lines from the top of the Omud. Says the Gemara, and we're in the middle of a whole list of quotes in the name of Rav. Here's the next one. V'omar Rova bar Mechasya, Omar Rav Chomo bar Gurya, Omar Rav. Kol ir any city shegagoyseo gvoihin mibeis hakneses, whose the roofs of the homes of the residential homes in that city are higher than those of the shuls, l'seif chorva, it's enough reason that at the end this city will get destroyed. Shenemar, as it says in the pasuk, l'roimim es beis elikenu u'lehamid es chorvoisov v'loses lonu godir b'Yehuda u'b'Yerushalayim. The beis elikenu is supposed to be merumam, is supposed to be higher and uplifted, and this is a pasuk that teaches us that the shuls should be the highest buildings in a city. And from the rest of the pasuk, which the Gemara doesn't bring, but Rashi quotes, "V'los eslanu godir b'Yehuda v'Yerushalayim," is that if l'roimim beis elikenu, the shuls are the highest buildings, that way it's a certain security that the city will stay and will not get destroyed. And that's only true with residential homes, that they should not be higher than the shuls. Aval b'kishkushe, but regarding the forts, v'ivrure, or the towers, less lon bo, since they're not residential homes, it doesn't matter if they are higher than the shuls. Omer Ravashi, ano avdi l'mosa mechasya d'loy chorva. Ravashi says, I caused the town called Mosa Mechasya to not get destroyed, because he made sure that no homes would be taller than that of the shul. V'hachorva, asks the Gemara, we see that this Mosa Mechasya did get destroyed at the end. Says the Gemara, mi'oise ovoin lo'ichorva, if the homes are higher than the shuls, it's a reason for the city to get destroyed, and since he made sure that that was not the case, then this was not a contributing factor to the fact that Mosa Mechasya got destroyed, and there must have been other reasons why it got destroyed. Continues the Gemara, the next quote in the name of Rav. V'omar Rav bar Mechasya, Omar Rav Chomo bar Gurya, Omar Rav. Tachas Yishmoel v'loi tachas Nochri. It's preferable to have to serve under somebody from Yishmoel, v'loi tachas Nochri, and not under somebody from Edom. Tachas Nochri, better to serve under somebody from Edom, v'loi tachas Chovir, and not somebody affiliated to Chovir, which was some association with Parsi, with the Persians. Tachas chovir v'loy talmud chochem, it's better to be subservient and have to serve somebody from this place called chovir, even though they were not very kind and compassionate people, rather than serving a talmud chochem, because if you mistreat a talmud chochem, then you could get severely punished. Tachas talmud chochem v'loy tachas yosim v'almona, it's preferable to serve a talmud chochem rather than in a widow or an orphan, because a yosim valmona, their tears come out more readily, and Hashem sees those tears, and somebody who causes pain to a yosim valmona, Hashem punishes them very severely. Continues the Gemara, the next quote in the name of Rav. V'omar Rav bar Mechasya, Omar Rav Chomo bar Gurya, Omar Rav. Kol choyli, any illness, v'loy choyli me'ayim, and not the illness of the intestines. Kol ke'ev, any pain, v'loy ke'ev lev, and not the pain of the heart. Kol michush, any ache, v'loy michush roish, and not the ache of the head. Kol ro, any bad, v'loy isha ro, but not a bad woman, a bad wife. Continues the Gemara, the next quote in the name of Rav. Omar Rav bar Mechasya, Omar Rav Chomo bar Gurya, Omar Rav. Im yiu kol hayamim dioy, if all the waters, all the seas would be ink. V'agamim, and all the marshes, all the reeds, would be kulmasim, would be quilt. V'shamayim yiriyos, and the skies would be parchment. V'chol b'nei Odom, and all people, lavlerim, would be scribes. Ein maspikin, it would not suffice, lichtoiv chalolo shel roshos, to write down the depths of the kings, the governments. Maikro, where do you see this in the pasuk? Omer of Masharshia, the pasuk says, Shomayim lorum, the skies are high, and the va'oretz la'oimek, and the land, the earth in the depth, v'leiv melochim, but the hearts of a king, ein cheker, they one cannot investigate them, they are too deep, too all-encompassing. And Rashi describes all the things that the heart of the government, the heart of a king, has to do at the same time, whether it's the finances, the wars, the rules, everything. It's beyond what one can fathom. Continues the Gemara, the next quote in the name of Rav. V'omar Rav bar Machasya omar Rav Chomer bar Gurya omar Rav. Yofo tanis lechaloim ke'ish lena'oires. If a person had a dream and he wants to fast to make sure the dream should not chas v'shalom play itself out badly, then a fast is good for that dream, like a fire takes care of flax, diminishes it in a second. And so too, a tanis, a fast, diminishes anything negative of a bad dream. Omer of Chizda, Oboi Bayom of Chizda says it's assuming that the fast was done on the day that he had the dream. V'omer of Yosef, Afilu B'Shabbos, Rav Yosef says this is true, even if he had the dream on Shabbos, he should fast on Shabbos. Rabbi Shua B'Reid Rav Idi, Ikle L'Beir Rav Ashi. Rabbi Shua, the son of Rav Idi, he met in the home of Rav Ashi. Ovdile Igla Tilsa. They cooked for him an Igla Tilsa, which is a third-born young animal, an egel, a calf. And the third child of a mother is always the best. When the first two children are born, the mother is still young and weak. When the third one is born, it's the most tasty, it's the best meat to offer. Omru Le Litoim Mar Midi. So they said to him, they said to Rabbi Yeshua, would you like to taste some of this meat? Omar Luhu, he said to him, Tainis, betainis Yasivna, I'm in a tainis now. Omru lei v'lei sovar lei mar lehodu of Yehuda, do omar of Yehuda, lova odom ta'aniso yuporea. Do you not hold of Rav Yehuda, who holds that you can lend and borrow? If you were going to sit in a fast one day, you can borrow today from tomorrow. You could eat today and fast tomorrow instead. So we're offering you a delicious meal. Eat from what we've prepared for you and you'll fast tomorrow. As Omar Le, so that he answered him back, Tainis Chaloimhu, this is not a regular fast, this is a fast for a dream. And now he's going to quote what we just saw in the Gemara, V'Omar Rav Bar Machasya, Omar Rav Choma Bar Guri Omar Rav. It's been told in the name of Rav that Yofo Tainis Lechaloim Ka'ish Lena'oires, a fast destroys anything bad in a dream, like fire destroys flax. V'omer of Chizda Obay Bayim, Rav Chizda said it should be on that day. V'omer of Yosef Afilu B'Shabbos, and Rav Yosef said even on Shabbos. And therefore, since I had a dream today or last night, I don't want to eat. I'm in a fast today. Continues the Gemara. We're going back to the Mishnah. V'im hischilu ein mafsikin. The Mishnah said a whole load of things that you should not do samuch lemincha. And then the Mishnah said, if you started them, even though you possibly shouldn't have, ein mafsikin, you do not have to stop, you can continue, just make sure you don't miss mincha. And then the Mishnah carries on, mafsikin kriyas shema ve'ein mafsikin letfila, that you stop in order to say kriyas shema, but you do not stop in order to daven. Asks the Gemara, v'hotono le'resha ein mafsikin. It already says, v'im ischilu ein mafsikin, and we're talking about tefillah. So you see that you do not have to stop for tefillah. Why do you repeat it again, a line later, that mafsikin l'kriyas shema v'ein mafsikin l'tefillah? We know that you don't need to stop for tefillah. Says the Gemara, sefer oson l'divrei Torah. The final line that we quoted, that mafsikin l'kriyas shema v'ein mafsikin l'tefillah, is not talking about the stopping to do any of the things mentioned in the Mishnah, like going to the barber, etc. Rather, it's talking about somebody who's in the middle of learning, that he stops learning in order to say Kriyas Shema, but he does not have to stop learning in order to daven. The Tanya we saw in the Braisa, Chaverim Shayoiskim Bateira, the friends, the Chaverim that were engaged in Torah learning, Mafsikin Kriyas Shema Ve'ein Mafsikin Netfila, they stop their learning to say Kriyas Shema, but they do not stop their learning in order to daven. Omer B'Yechlon, Rabbi Yechonon adds, Lo Yishonu, this is only true that they do not stop in order to daven, Elo Kegoin Reb Shimon ben Yochai v'Chaveirov, only people like Reb Shimon ben Yochai and his friends, Sheteiroson Umnuson, that they're learning, that was their only activity, that was the only thing that they did, and they would not stop in order to make a living. And since they didn't stop for anything in the world, therefore they do not have to stop to daven. Aval kagoyin onu, but us, that we stop learning in order to go and work, mafsikin kriyas shema v'litfila, we have to stop not only to say kriyas shema, that the time of kriyas shema is min ha-Torah, but we also have to stop in order to daven, even though that may be only derabbanon. V'hotanya k'shem she'ein mafsikin l'tfila, kach ein mafsikin l'kriyas shema. The Braisa says that in the same way as you do not have to stop to daven, so too you do not have to stop for kriyas shema. And that seems to be the opposite of what we just saw now, that for everybody has to stop with kriyas shema, and for people not like Rav Shimon, they have to stop also for learning. Says the Gemara, Kitoni Hahi, that Braisa is talking about Be'ibur Oshono, when the seven Chachomim would seclude themselves in a place in order to discuss whether they would add an extra month in the year, and because it's such a pivotal decision, then and all the Yomim Tovim of the next year are dependent on it, and therefore they would not stop for anything, not for Kriyas Shema and not for Tefillah. Domer of Adbar Ava, V'chein Tonu Saba de Hagrunya. Rav Ada Ba'ava and the elders of Hagrunya, they both said, Omer Velozo Bar Tzodik, in the name of Rav Elozo Bar Tzodik, Keshehayinu Oiskim Be'ibur HaShono B'Yavne, when we were busy discussing and deciding whether we're going to add an extra month that particular year, whilst in Yavne, Lo Yoyinu Mafsikin, we would not interrupt, Lo Yoyle Kriyas Shema, V'Lo Yoyle Tefillah, not in order to say Kriyas Shema, and certainly not in order to daven. Says the Mishnah, and this is a type of continuation from the previous Mishnah. In the previous Mishnah, the Mishnah listed the things one should not do before Mincha for fear that we're going to continue and get carried away and miss Mincha. So it says here, Lo yitze ha-chayot b'machtoy somuch l'chasheicho. A tailor should not go out with a needle close to Shabbos. It's still Erev Shabbos. But if you go out with a needle, you might get carried away and forget that you have the needle on you, and then you'll end up carrying it on Shabbos, and therefore, even samuch l'chasheicha, even before Shabbos, you should not go out with that needle, and this obviously only applies to Erev Shabbos, and not to any other day. Shemo yishkach v'yetzei, you might forget, and you're going to transfer this needle from one rishus to the other, or you might carry it in a rishus harabim. And the Mishnah continues, V'loya lavlor b'kul masoy, the scribe should not go out samuch l'chasheicha with his quill. V'loyafle es kelov, and a person should not separate the lice from his clothes. Talking about on Shabbos. V'loyikra l'iraneir, he should not read from a candle. Again, talking about on Shabbos. And continues the Mishnah, Be'emes amru, in truth it was said, Hachazon. And this chazon, Rashi says, is either the gabba of the Beis HaKnesses, of the shul, who has to know where the Kriyas HaTorah starts on Shabbos morning, and he's not sure exactly where, or the chazon is talking about the Rebbe who's teaching the children Torah. Roya Heichon Tinoikos Koirin, this chazon is allowed to look where the children are reading from. There was no problem of the children reading with the Oiraneir, with the candle, because the children would not come to move the candle in order to see better, and moving the candle would be a transgression of Mavir, of causing a flame to be made bigger, or to it's, the Malach of Mavir we're going to learn about later on in the Masechta. And since the children wouldn't dare do such a thing without permission from the Rebbe, they were allowed to read in this situation. But the Chazan himself, which is either their Rebbe or the Chazan of the Beis HaKnesses, was allowed to look where the Tinoik is, where these children were reading from, to know where they're up to, where the parasha starts and finishes, where the Aliyos start and finish. And since he's just looking at what the children are doing, and he's not actually reading with them, then that's okay. Roya Heichon Tinoikos Koirin, Aval Hu Lo Yikre, he himself, the Chazan himself, should not read with the light of the lamp, because he may come to move the lamp and transgress the Issa of Mavir. Kiyotzeboi, similarly, Lo Yoichal Azov Im Hazova, if a husband and a wife, in the event that he was a Zov, which is a certain type of Tumah which we don't really practice today, but in the time of the Mishnah, in the time of the Chazal, in the time of the Beis HaMikdash, there were ramifications of the Tumah of Ziva, which is a certain emission from the Aver, and which is a not typical one, it's one which is which might even be considered a type of illness. And there's a special tumah, very strict tumah, and this tumah applies also to a man, also to a woman. And if a woman is tummy as a ziva, and her husband has relations with her, then it's severely also punishable by koras. And mipnei herugel aveira, in order that they shouldn't get too close and chas v'shalom come to do an aveira, therefore a zov, even if he's a zov, and kol shekin even more so if he's tohir and she's a zova, they must not eat together, because eating too closely together could cause them to do a serious aveira. Says the Gemara, Tanan hosam. We learnt in the Mishnah, lo yamoid odom b'rishus hayachid v'yishte b'rishus harabim. A person should not stand in rishus hayachid and stretch his head out into the rishus harabim and drink from the rishus harabim. If there's a pitcher or a cup, whatever it is with a drink in the rishus harabim, he's in the rishus hayachid. To bring the cup into rishus hayachid is severely also on Shabbos. He should not stretch out his head into the rishus harabim and drink it. And this is a gzeira that he might bring the cup into the Rishus HaYochid, which is Osir. Rishus HaRabim v'yishte Rishus HaYochid, nor should he be standing in Rishus HaRabim and stretch his head into Rishus HaYochid to drink from a cup in the Rishus HaYochid. Again, we're afraid he's going to take the cup out from the Rishus HaYochid into the Rishus HaRabim, which is Osir. Avalim hichnis roishay v'rubay l'mokim shu shaysa. If besides for stretching out his head, he puts most of his body out into the domain where the cup is, mutter, in that case, he's allowed to drink that way, and we assume that the very fact that he's stretching out like that will serve as some type of a reminder for him. He will not come to bring the cup into the domain that he's standing in. V'chein begat, and the same is true regarding a wine press. And we'll soon see in the Gemara what this is referring to. Continues the Gemara, Iboy Eluhu. The Gemara asks a question. Karmelis mai. We know that one is not allowed to carry from a regular domain, Rishus HaYochid or Rishus HaRabim, into a karmelis, and that's only also midrabonon. And the reason is, they made a gzeira. If you're going to carry from Rishus HaYochid or Rishus HaRabim into a karmelis, or vice versa, you may by mistake end up carrying from Rishus HaYochid to Rishus HaRabim. Therefore, the Chachomim made a gezeira that it's also. The question now is regarding stretching one's head out into a karmelis from Rishus HaYochid to Rishus HaRabim, where strictly speaking, as long as he's drinking whilst his head is out in the karmelis, and he's not bringing the cup into the rishus he's standing in, there's no problem with that. But we saw before in the Mishnah, there's a gzeira you might take the cup into the rishus you're standing in, and you're not allowed to take an item, an object, from one rishus to another. The question was, did they make a gzeira? Don't stretch out your head and drink in a karmelis because you might bring it in, when the whole issa to take something from a karmelis into another rishus is in itself only a gzeira. Generally, we have a rule that the Chachomim did not make a gzeira le gzeira, didn't make one decree in order to avoid transgressing another one. That's the question here. Omar Abaya. Abaya said, he. In the same way as one is not allowed to stretch one's head out from Rishus HaYochid to Rishus HaRabim or vice versa, so too one may not stretch one's head from one of those Rishuyos into a Karmelis. It's Osa, and there's no difference. Rav Omar. Rav says, no. He gufa gzeira, the whole issa to carry to and from a karmelis is only a gzeira. Vanan nekam v'nigzer gzeira le gzeira. We should make a gzeira on that gzeira. No, we don't do that. Omar Abaya, minoa minelo. Abaya is now going to tell us, I'll give you a proof that I find that they did make such a gzeira with a karmelis. Diktoni, we learnt in the Mishnah, v'chein begas, that the same applies to a wine press. Asks Abaya, my gas, what's the status of this wine press? Irushus HaYochid, if the wine press is 10 tfachim high and 4x4 and more in size, then it's Rishus HaYochid. Tanina, we already said explicitly in the Mishnah, you must not stretch out your head from Rishus HaRabim into Rishus HaYochid. What's the Mishnah adding by telling us that the same is true with the wine press? Irushus HaRabim, if we're talking about Irushus HaRabim, which means that the wine press is less than 3 tfachim off the ground, and the public could walk through it, We've already said Tanina, we already said explicitly, you're not allowed to stretch your head from Rishus HaYochid into Rishus HaRabim. So what's the Gus telling us? El Olav Karmelis. It must be that the Gus has the status of a Karmelis. It's more than 4x4 Tvachim, and it's above 3 Tvachim off the ground. It has the status of a Karmelis, and the Mishnah is explicitly telling us you're not allowed to stretch your head into a wine press in order to drink from there. So Abaye says, that's proof to what I said, that in the same way as you may not stretch out your head into a Rishus HaRabim or a Rishus HaYochid, so too into a Karmelis. Rava Omar, Rava says no. V'chein begas, the words v'chein begas in that Mishnah have no connection b'chlal to Hilchus Shabbos. It's a different halacha, le'inyon maisa. It's to do with the halacha in maisa. We know that fruits or the grapes, the wine, before eating them, one has to take trumas and maisras. The halacha is that one is only mechuyev, one is only required to take the maestros after gemar melocha, the end of the melocha, when the food has been harvested and is completely ready now for sale, for all intents and purposes, then there's a chiyuv to take maisa. In a wine press, the gemar melocha is marked when the wine has run down into the boyer, into the pit. While the wine is still in the press, it's not yet considered gemar melocha. The halacha is that before Gemara Melacha, one is allowed to drink from the wine or eat from the fruits on condition that it's arai, not keva. It mustn't be a permanent type of eating or drinking. If it's just on the way, just by the way, is an arai, then you're allowed to eat or drink from it. So this wine, which is now in the wine press, you're allowed to drink there before Maisa, but on one condition, that it's in the wine press. If you take it out of the wine press, then it's already considered, or it has the same halacha as a gemara melacha. It's already got a certain kvius, it's fixated, and even though it's not, strictly speaking, had gemara melacha, one is chayev in maisa. And even in the wine press itself, one is only allowed to drink it in a way, in a fashion which is not keva, it's just arai. And we're going to see now, V'chein Rava Omar v'chein begas le'inyan Maisa, regarding Maisa. V'chein Omar of Sheishas, also said like Rava that v'chein begas, the words v'chein begas, similarly in the wine press, le'inyan Maisa is referring to Maisa. And now we'll see the halachas d'itnan we learnt in a Mishnah. Shoisin al hagas, you're allowed to drink from the wine whilst in the wine press, only in the wine press, not outside of it. Bein alachamin, bein alatzoinon. Irrespective of whether you dilute the wine with warm water, with hot water, or with cold water, upotar, and he does not have to take meiser divrei Reb Meir. That's the opinion of Reb Meir. Reb Elazar b'Reb Tzadik mechayev. Reb Elazar b'Reb Tzadik says that since he's diluting the wine, that's already gives it a status of a drinking which has a certain kvius, and therefore one has to take meiser before drinking it. The Chachomim say, al hachamin, if you're diluting it with warm or with hot water, chayev, it's chayev, because you're more or less fixing a situation where you're going to have to drink everything that's in the cup, because the leftovers you cannot pour back into the wine press, because the fact that it's diluted in hot water, it will destroy the rest of the wine. Al hatzoinon, but if you diluted it in cold water, potter, then you do not need to take maisa, because you didn't necessarily intend to even drink a full cup, and whatever's left in the cup you can pour back into the wine press. Why? Because he's able to return the leftovers of the wine that has been diluted in cold water back into the press, and therefore it's not called kavua, he can drink it. Now, since we saw in this Mishnah that shoisin al hagas, you're only allowed to drink in the wine press, what's going to be the halacha if somebody's standing outside the wine press and he puts his head into the wine press and takes some wine? Is that allowed or is that not allowed? And so that is what the V'chein Begas. V'chein Begas says that in the same way as on Shabbos, you're not allowed to stretch your head out into Rishus HaRabim or Rishus HaYochid because you might take the cup out into the Rishus you're standing in, so to the Gas, you're only allowed to drink it in the wine press. You're not allowed to put your head into the wine press and and drink that way, because you might take it out of the wine press, and if you take it out, then you will not be allowed to drink it until you've taken maisus. The Gemara is now going to ask a question on Rava. Rava says that we don't make a gzeira le gzeira, and therefore you're allowed to put your head out into another rishus, into a karmelis, because the whole issa of carrying from a karmelis is only a drabonon, and putting your head out is only osa. As a gzeira, you might bring the cup into the rishus you're standing in. That's a double gzeira, and the Chachamim did not make such gzeiris even in Hilchas Shabbos. We can ask a kasha on that. Tnan, we learnt in the Mishnah, lo yetze achayet b'machtoy somuch l'chasheicha. A tailor is not allowed to go out with his needle before Shabbos. Shema yishkach v'yetze. He might forget, and he'll end up carrying the needle on Shabbos. So we made a gzeira that he's not allowed to go out with it even before Shabbos. My love, can we not assume that chuvaloy b'bigdoy, that this pin, he was not holding it in his hand, it was pinned onto his garment. And that's not a normal way of carrying. And since it's not a normal way of carrying, even on Shabbos, it's only asa as a gezeira that you might carry it in a normal way. So now we're making a double gezeira. You're saying you're not allowed to go out with it before Shabbos. Gezeira, you might go out with it on Shabbos, when on Shabbos itself, in this situation when it's just pinned in, it's only a gezeira that you might carry it when it's not pinned in, when you're holding it in a normal fashion. That's a gezeira le gezeira. And we see that the Mishnah says that it's asa, contrary to what Rava says. Says the Gemara, loy. The Mishnah is talking about he's holding the pin in his hand, and then it's a very normal way of carrying, so it's one gezeira. Don't go out holding a pin in your hand before Shabbos, however long that is, samuch l'chasheicha, because you might end up carrying it on Shabbos, and carrying a pin in your hand on Shabbos, which is a normal way of carrying, is osa. Continues the Gemara, we're going to try and bring a proof to Abaya. Toshema, lo yitze chayit b'machtoy ha'tchuva loy b'bigdoy. A tailor is not allowed to go out with a needle that's pinned into his clothes. My love, can we not comfortably assume that this Toshema is talking about Erev Shabbos? That even on Erev Shabbos, he's not allowed to go out if the pin is even just pinned onto his clothes, not that he's holding it in his hand. So you see, it's a gzeira le gzeira, and the Mishnah says it's asa. So it's proof to Abaya. Says the Gemara, loy, it's not proof to Abaya. Kitanya hi b'Shabbos. We're not talking about on Erev Shabbos, we're talking about on Shabbos, that a tailor is not allowed to go out with a pin pinned to his clothes on Shabbos, because even though it's a not normal way of carrying a pin, but there's a single gezeira that you might end up carrying it in your hand, which is a regular way of carrying it. They made a gezeira, don't go out like that. But there's no proof that they would have made an added gezeira not to go out like that even before Shabbos. V'hotanya, we're now asking a question on Rava. It says in the Braisa, lo yetze hachayit b'machtoy atchuva b'bigdoy b'erev Shabbos in chasheicha. It's explicit in the Braisa that even on Erev Shabbos, you're not allowed to go out with a pin, even though it's only pinned in. He's not holding it in his hand. So you see explicitly in the Braisa, there's a double gezeira. It's Erev Shabbos and it's pinned in. And it's a question on Rava, who says that we do not make a gezeira le gezeira even in Hilchas Shabbos. Says the Gemara, ha mani Rabbi Yehuda hi. That Braisa is following the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, to Omar uman derech umnosoy chayev. Rabbi Yehuda holds that since it was normal for a professional, for a tailor, to go out advertising his profession by pinning his needle into his garment, even though other people would not carry this way, for him it's called a derech yitzah, it's called a regular way of carrying, and therefore on Shabbos it would be severely osa as a melacha d'oraisa of yitzah. And therefore, not going out with it on Erev Shabbos is a single gezeira, not a double gezeira. And therefore, the Braisa says it's asa. D'tanya, we saw in the Braisa, lo yetze achayet b'machtoy atchuva loy b'bigdoy, a tailor is not allowed to go out with a pin pinned into his garment, v'loy nagar, nor is a carpenter allowed to go out b'kesam sheba'oznoy, with a ruler that he used to put on his ears, also as a form of advertising his profession, v'lo yisirek, and the koma was not allowed to go out, b'meshicha sheba'oznoi, with a cord he would put round his ears, and this was a cord that he would use to comb the wool. V'loi gardi, and a weaver is not allowed to go out, b'ira sheba'oznoi, with a stopper that he would use for one of the parts of the loom, of the warp that he would be weaving the cloth with. He's not allowed to go with that on his ear. V'loi tzava, and not a painter, b'dugma, is not allowed to go out with a sample of some dyed cloth, sheba tzavori, that he would put round his neck. V'loi shulchani, and a money changer is not allowed to go out, b'dinar sheba ozni, with a coin that he would put on his ear. V'im yotza, and if any of these professionals went out in such a way, potter, he's potter, avil osur, it's also divi Reb Meir, because Reb Meir says it's an unusual way of carrying, even for the professionals it's unusual, and they would only go out that way in order to advertise, but it was not a regular way of carrying it. Reb Yehuda Omer, Reb Yehuda says no, umon derech umnosei chayev, since this is the way that the professionals would go out, it's called derech yitzah, it's called a regular way of carrying, and therefore he's chayev on Shabbos. V'shar kol odom, but anybody else who's not a professional, who goes round with a pin stuck to his pinned to his cloth, or with a ruler behind his ears, for other people it's clearly not a normal way of doing the melacha, and the rule in Hilchos Shabbos is that if you do a melacha in an irregular fashion, then you're not chayev, it's osa, but he's potter, he doesn't get the punishment of chilul Shabbos. So the brisa that we said before, that lo yetzei achayet b'machtei atchuva b'bigdoi b'erev Shabbos in chasheicha, and we asked a question, it's a double gezeira contrary to what Rava says. The answer is no. According to Reb Yehuda, it's not a double gezeira. For the professionals, it's also to go out this way as a single gezeira before Shabbos. That we made a gezeira that you might go out like this on Shabbos, and on Shabbos, it's not a gezeira. It's the way, it's the regular way of them doing haitzah, and therefore it's chayev, not as a gezeira. Continues the Gemara. In the next Gemara, we're going to discuss the halacha of a zov. And as we've mentioned before, a zov is a man that has a certain discharge that comes out of the aver, and in some cases there's a whole masecha zovim to explain to us all the details, but a zov is a severe tomei. And in order for the discharge not to dirty his clothes, then a zov would typically go round with a type of a pouch called a kis on the aver in order to collect the discharge and keep his clothes clean. The question is, may the zov go out with this kis on Shabbos? Says the Gemara, Toni Choda, in one brisa we learned, lo yetze azov bekisoy, azov may not go out with this pouch, v'im yotza potor, and if he went out, it's potor, since it's not a normal way of carrying. It's not a typical way of carrying a pouch by tying it to one's gid. Aval osur, however, it's osur. The Tani Edoch, in another brisa we learnt, lo yetze, he's not allowed to go out with a pouch on Shabbos. V'im yotzo chayev chatos, it's severely osur, he's carried on Shabbos. Omer Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef explained that it's not a contradiction. Lo yikashya. Ha Rav Meir, the brisa that says that he's potter is following Rav Meir. Ha Rav Yehuda, and the brisa that says that his chayev is Reb Yehuda, as we saw before, that even though pinning a pin to one's clothes is not a normal way of going out for regular people, but for the professionals it is a normal way of doing it, and we saw before that Reb Yehuda holds that since a professional goes out this way, if the professional goes out this way, he's chayev. Reb Meir says that since people do not go out normally this way, even the professionals, it's not called a normal way of going out, and it's potter aval osa. So we say the same thing here. For normal people, don't go out with a pouch like this. The fact that he goes out with a pouch like this, it's not normal. And therefore, according to Reb Meir, he'll be potter. According to Reb Yehuda, he'll be chayev. That's how Reb Yosef wanted to explain the contradiction in these brises. Omar Le'abaye. Abaya commented and responded to Rav Yosef, Eimud Hashamos Leila Reb Meir, when did Reb Meir say that it's potter? B'midi delav hainu urche, in a case like the professionals, where even for the professionals themselves it's not a normal way of carrying, and they would only go out in order to advertise that way, but when they themselves wanted to carry it, they would not go out that way. And therefore Reb Meir says it's potter. B'midi dahainu urchei, but a case where this, for whoever uses it, this is the way one carries it. For example, if those professionals would always carry those tools that way, or in the case of the Zov, where all Zovs, the normal way of them going out is with a pouch in order to collect the discharge, then for the Zov, it's a normal way of doing it. Hainu urchei, mishomsle, can you still assume that Rav Meir would say it's potter? Maybe it would be chayev. Because if you don't say that, and if you say that anything that it's most people don't do, and for example, a tailor would go out in the event that even for a tailor it would be normal to go out with a needle pinned onto his clothes, and even in that case Rav Meir would say it's potter. In that case, elameato hedyo itshechoka kav bebikos b'shabbos, if an amateur, not a professional carpenter, he carved a hole the size of a kav into a log on Shabbos, and normally the normal way of doing it is that a professional carves the wood, not an amateur. And since it's not normal for an amateur to do it, are you going to say Rav Meir hachanami delay mechayev? Are you going to say that he's going to be potter because it's not the normal way of doing it? No, that's the way that an amateur carves wood. Of course he's going to be chayev. So too here, this is the way that a Zov goes out, with a pouch. And so too, if it would be normal for tailors to always go around with their pinned to their clothes, then they'll also be chayev. It's only potter there because even for the tailor it's not normal. He's just doing it for a few minutes in order to advertise. So that cannot be the explanation with this brisa. And even according to Rav Meir, that says that it's potter in the case of the pin for a tailor to go out on Shabbos, it's only potter, but not chayev. But he would agree that in the case of the kiss, which is the normal way for a Zov to go out, he may be chayev. And then we have to explain what's the explanation of the brisa that says potter. Elo Omar Rav Amnuna gives a different explanation. Loi kashya, I can explain to you the contradiction between the two brises. Kan, the brisa that says that the Zov is chayev, b'zov bal shtei ra'yos, if the Zov only saw twice, and he now has to keep this pouch on in order to check that he's not seeing a third time, because it makes a very big difference if he sees a third time that he has to and bring a korban. And kan b'zov bal gimel ra'yos, but a Zov who's already seen three times, it makes no difference anymore whether he's wearing the pouch or not. He's already got the severe type of Zov and its halachas, and since he doesn't need it to determine his halachic status, therefore the going out like that is less choshev, and therefore he's potter if he goes out like that on Shabbos. Ma'ishna Zov bal shtei ra'yos techayev, why should a Zov who's only seen two ra'yos be chayev if he goes out with a pouch? To mibulei lebdika, he needs the pouch in order to see whether he's seeing a third ra'ya. And if he sees a third ra'ya, then shiva nekiyim will not be enough. He'll have to bring a korban as well. Zov bal gimel, nami biboy leila sfira. The Gemara is asking that even a Zov who's seen three ra'yos, he needs the pouch in order to make sure that the days that he's counting are completely clean. Because once he's counting the shiva nekiyim, the seven clean days, if he sees any of this discharge during those 7 days, he has to start counting again. So why do you say that only a Zov of two ra'yos, he needs the pouch in order to make sure that he's not seeing a third discharge? Even if he sees a third discharge, he has to make sure that he's staying clean. Says the Gemara, lo nitzrach el leboy bayom. We're talking about he's seen three times, and on that day, till the end of the day, where he cannot start counting on that day, because he needs seven full clean days, so from the time he's seen the third ra'ya until the end of that day, he doesn't need the pouch for any halachic status. He knows he's already a proper Zov, and he has to count shiva nekiyim and then bring a korban, and he cannot start counting till the night. So going out with this pouch is less necessary for his halachic status. Therefore, it's not called a normal way of going out. It's not a choshev, a prominent melacha on Shabbos, and therefore he's potter. Says the Gemara, v'homi boy le'kadesh lo yitanfu kelov. even on that third day, and granted that he does not need this pouch in order to determine his halachic status, but he's wearing it and he needs to wear it in order that his garments should not become soiled. Why is that not a good enough reason that it's called a substantial and a choshev carrying, and it'll be chayev on Shabbos? This Tana holds that any carrying on Shabbos, where the whole carrying is just in order to keep something clean, in this case, keeping his garments clean, that's not called a choshev, an act in any way, and therefore carrying, where the sole purpose is just to keep his clothes clean, that's not called a choshev, a substantial and prominent melacha, and therefore he'll be potter. Ditnan, we saw a Mishnah to this effect, Hakoife Ka'oro ala Koisel. And let's introduce what's going on here. We know there's a halacha that fruits can become tomei. If something tomei touches them, they will become tomei. We'll learn more about this in a few dafim from here. But there's a halacha, and it's learnt out from a posuk. The posuk says that a V'chiyutan mayim al zera v'nofal menivlosam olov tomei hulochem. There's a condition. Fruits will only ever become tomei if before the fruits became tomei, some water went onto them. And it's not good enough just that water went onto them. It has to be that you wanted the water to go on them. V'chiyutan, it's a drasha we're going to see in the Gemara later, that it has to be something you want and something that you're happy about. If it happens to be that the fruits became wet, but you did not want them, you didn't care about them, about the water, then that's not called v'chiyutan, and the fruits will not become mukhshar, they will not become able to become tomei, even if something tomei touches them. So what happens in a case? Hakoifer ka'oro al hakoisel. If it was raining, and he takes a plate, he turns it upside down and puts it on the top of the wall whilst it's raining. And then the rain drops off this plate, and then it goes onto some fruits. Do we say that he wanted this rain at any point? He clearly didn't need or want this rain on the fruits. The question is, did he need or want the rain on the plate? And if he did, then the halacha is that if at any point he wanted the water, even if at a second stage, even when it touches the fruits, he didn't need it or want it, since he wanted it at some stage before, it's already called v'chiyutan, and the fruits will be able to become tomei after that. The question is, did he want the rain on this plate or not? So the Gemara, so it says as follows, im bishvil shetudach hakara, if you turn this plate upside down, in order for the plate to become cleansed, which means he wanted the rain on the plate, hareze b'chiyutan, it's called b'chiyutan, if afterwards the rain flows onto some fruits. Im b'shvil shelo yiloke ha-kesel, if the only reason you turn this plate upside down and put it on the wall was not in order for the plate to get clean, but just in order to protect the wall from getting damaged from the water, eine b'chiyutan, it's not called v'chiyutan. So you see here clearly, it would seem that since the plate is there in order to protect the wall, it's not called that he wants the rain. So too here, since the pouch is on the zov just in order to collect the discharge, that's not called something choshev, it's not called something desirable, something you want, and therefore carrying this pouch for such a type of zov on the third day where there's no halachic difference with knowing whether there's any more discharge or not is not called carrying something substantial, and therefore he'll be potter. Says the Gemara, no, you cannot prove from this Mishnah that kol itzulei tinuf loika choshev, that going out with something that's there just in order to protect something from getting soiled is not called choshev. You cannot prove it from this Mishnah. Mi domi, it's not similar. Hosom loika boya luhu lahani mashkin klal. Over there, there's a condition. V'chiyutan means I need to want the water. I don't want the water. And at no point did I want the water. Hocha, but in the case of the zov, kaboya luhu lahaikis lekibule beziva. Over here, it's about wanting the carrying. We're talking about Hilchas Haitzah on Shabbos. And whether I want the discharge or don't want the discharge is not relevant. Do you want to be carrying this pouch? And the answer is definitely yes. I want to be carrying this pouch. And therefore, just because the pouch is there in order not to get soiled by the discharge and you don't want the discharge, there's no reason that that should not be called a substantial act of carrying. He wants to carry this pouch in order to receive the discharge. If you want to compare it to the halachas of a chiyutan, then compare it to the rest of that Mishnah. What does it say in the Mishnah further along? It says there, areva, a bowl, sheyered delef lesoicha. If the roof is leaking and he puts this bowl in the room in order to collect the drips that are dripping from the leak, then mayim hanitzin, those drops that splash out of this bowl, vanitzbin, or they spill over, the overflow, einon b'chiyuton, they are not called b'chiyuton. I don't want that water. V'shebeteicha, but the water inside the bowl, hareze b'chiyuton, I do want. I obviously, from the fact that I put the bowl facing up, I want to collect the water, and therefore it's called b'chiyuton. I'm okay with the fact the water is going in this bowl, and it's called I want the water there. So to here, in the case of the pouch, it's called I want the pouch to be able to collect the discharge. It's choshuv, and therefore there's no reason not to be chayev on Shabbos. So we're back to our original question. How are we going to explain the braisa that says that a zov going out with a pouch like this is going to be potur? Elo, the Gemara is now giving a third explanation. Abaye and Rava de Omri Tarvayu. Abaye and Rava both explain loy kasha, hoder of Yehuda, hoder of Shimon. There's a famous and machlekas which we're going to learn about still, a melocha she'einot tzricha legufa. If you don't have any intent, if you don't have any need for this melacha, for example, in the case of the ziva, this person doesn't want the discharge, he doesn't need the discharge, he doesn't need to carry the discharge anywhere, he doesn't want the pouch there, bichlal, he has no need for all this. What can he do? That's the situation. He has a discharge, he puts on the kiss, but it's not as if he's got an intention and a purpose of carrying a kiss from one place to the next because he wants the kiss to be not here, he wants it somewhere else. That's called a melacha she'einot tzricha legufa. And we see that the halacha with melacha she'einot tzricha legufa, Rabbi Yehuda says that he's chayev, Rabbi Shimon says he's potur. So too here. It's true that with everything we've seen, he needs this pouch and it's called carrying, but tachlis, the end of the day, he does not want this carrying, he doesn't have any interest in this pouch being transferred from place to place, and therefore, according to Reb Shimon, he'll be potter. According to Reb Yehuda, that says that even a melocha she'einot tzricha legufa chayev, he's going to say that it's chayev. And in Mirtz Hashem, in the next shiur, we'll carry on from here.